fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. More analysis of your Toronto Blue Jays and Major League Baseball. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, welcome to Baseball Central for a Friday. Thankfully, mercifully, it's Friday. I am Jeff Blair. That, ladies and gentlemen, is Kevin Barker.
How we doing?
Or he, ladies and gentlemen, is Kevin Barker.
Yes.
Your Toronto Blue Jays have hit the halfway mark of the Major League season, 45-36. They're two games ahead of the Baltimore Orioles in first place after a 7-0 win over the Chi Sox last night. Mr. Barker and myself have got a list of our halfway surprises and our halfway disappointments for the Blue Jays. I guess maybe Monday we'll do for baseball in general, sure, because the Jays have given us so much to talk about. So we'll have our halfway surprises, our halfway disappointments. We'll have the highly anticipated Ask the Experts segment as well, brought to you by Home Hardware. And I'm going to test Kevin's intellectual capacity with this Ask the Experts question. And yeah, it'll kind of get to the heart of the matter. And a local kid, Dalton Pompey, who you definitely have heard of him before if you're a Blue Jays fan. He was a 16th round pick in the 2010 MLB draft. He's been coming like a freight train since then. He was just promoted this morning from single A Dunedin to double A New Hampshire. He will be in the All-Star Futures game, which will be played on the Sunday before the All-Star game, the Major League All-Star game in Minneapolis. That is quite a coup for any Canadian-born player, or frankly, for any minor league player for that matter. And as I said, he was just promoted to double A New Hampshire. He will join us. Interesting story about Dalton Pompey, aside from the fact he's born in Mississauga.
That's pretty cool.
Is that in the last 2 weeks, not only has he become more prominent in terms of minor league chatter, I mean, a lot of the websites, a lot of the chat rooms that deal with minor league baseball have been talking about Dalton Pompey. He has also figured in his first trade rumor.
Wow.
So you're not even in the major leagues and already you figure in a trade rumor. This Fox Sports, John Paul Morosi, one of the regulars on our show, reported that the Chicago Cubs considered Pompey to be part of what they would need in any package in return for Jeff Samardzija. So clearly the Toronto Blue Jays aren't the only team enamored with Dalton Pompey. And if you want to go online and watch footage of him play, you can see why. Pretty good time to be Dalton Pompey, I would say, Barker.
That's pretty cool.
Promoted, going to the All-Star Futures game.
It may be a little disappointing, though, if you want to be in the big leagues in your hometown. That would be even cooler, think, if you're... It hasn't happened yet, but still would be pretty cool.
We'll talk to Dalton Pompey about all those other rumors. Dalton Pompey joins us on Baseball Central. Dalton, thanks so much for doing this.
Hey, no problem. I'm just at the airport running around, but you know, I spare some time for you guys.
So when did you get the news, and what was the reaction like? What was your reaction when you found out you're being promoted? I mean, double A, that's guys take one step from there up to the majors quite often.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, we had a game yesterday, and then after the game, Omar Malave, the manager, called me in and told me I was going to double A. And, you know, it was a bit overwhelming with all the stuff going on with, you know, getting invited to the Futures game and now getting promoted. So it's been a pretty hectic week for me.
Let me ask you this, Dalton. When did you realize, or when did you get the sense, or maybe you haven't got the sense yet, that you were going to have this type of season where, you know, you were going to be promoted, going to the All-Star Futures game, a lot of good things happening to you? Was there a point early in the year where you thought, boy, you know, that this might be that season that I wanted to have for a year?
I mean, I don't think I'd expect any of this to happen, you know, going to the Futures game and, you know, getting promoted. I was just focused on, you know, every day and what I needed to do to be successful starting from last year, because I went through my struggles and whatnot, and, you know, I learned from them. And at the end of the season last year, I started to do well, so I had the confidence coming into this year that I was capable of something like this. So, you know, I've been taking steps in the right direction, and I'm just trying to stay positive with it.
Dalton, give me your thoughts on just how important or just how excited you are to represent Canada in the Futures game.
Oh, I mean, it's a tremendous honor, you know. I had played for the junior national team before, too, and at the World Baseball Championships back when I was in high school. And that was a great feeling, you know. And, you know, to be the only Canadian to represent at the Futures game, I mean, it's something that I couldn't even have dreamed of, you know. And to go there and, you know, to represent my country and my city and, you know, place where I grew up and was born, is just, it's a surreal feeling.
Mm-hmm. Dalton Pompey joins us on Baseball Central. You have 6 homers, 12 doubles, 3 triples, 34 RBI, 29 stolen bases. You've been caught stealing twice. This is at single A Dunedin. Is there an aspect of your game you have improved in particularly this year that you think has made the difference?
Well, I think I've always been, you know, a pretty good base runner and pretty good in the outfield. I'd have to say that my approach at the plate has definitely gotten a lot better, and my swing has been more consistent from both sides, and I think that's, you know, really helped me take off offensively. And in terms of defensively and base running, like I said, I feel like, you know, that's always been something I could always bank on and, you know, help the team.
Hey, Dalton, how hard is it when you're a switch hitter to maintain your swing from both sides?
It's incredibly difficult. It's so frustrating. I mean, you can ask my parents. I talk to them all the time. You know, it's just hard because as a switch hitter, you get less reps than everybody else because you have to, you know, maintain both sides. And a lot of times one side will be stronger than the other, you know, as the season goes on because of, you know, how many reps you take and whatnot. So it's really critical that you go in and you have to do extra work, you know, because you have to do the work that, you know, someone that only hits on one side has to do, but for both sides. So, I mean, it's really mental in the sense that it's difficult to do, and seeing guys in the big leagues that do it, I keep tip my cap to them because it's incredibly difficult, but you just try to make the most of it because the advantages outweigh the negatives.
I was going to say, at any point were you thinking about maybe, you know, shelving one side, going and just concentrating on one side more than the other, or were you pretty much from the get-go just focused on being a switch hitter?
I mean, I've thought about it, you know, numerous times, just because, you know, I've had my struggles from both sides, but I know that, you know, I've grown up switch hitting, you know, I've been doing it since I was 3 years old, you know, stuff's going to happen that's, you know, that you don't want to happen, and you just got to stick with it. I can't give up because, you know, it's going to help me in the long run, and I know that. And a lot of people have told me, you know, you should quit switch hitting. We can focus on one side, but, you know, I know I'm pretty talented from both sides of the plate, and I'm confident in both sides of the plate. So, you know, I just tried to do the best I can with that.
Dalton Pompey joins us in Baseball Central. Before we let you run, Dalton, I know you've got to catch a flight. I did want to ask you, not only did you get promoted today, not only are you going to the Futures game, but you figured in the first trade rumor of your young career, which, you know, most guys have to wait at least a little while before that happens. Your name has come up in connection with the Chicago Cubs having some interest as far as Jeff Samardzija going to the Blue Jays might be. Had you read that? Had people talked to you about it? And sort of, how do you keep all that in perspective?
Yeah, I mean, people have told me about it, and I've seen it for myself. And, you know, I feel like it's an honor to be, you know, regarded in a trade, because that means obviously you're doing something right, you know. But at the end of the day, I still have to try to, you know, focus on what I need to do to be successful, because none of this would happen if I didn't focus on that stuff. So, I mean, it's hard not to ignore it, but you just try to do the best that you can. And, you know, if, say, I did get traded, you know, whatever helps the team win, you know, because I'm still a Toronto fan regardless. So whatever helps the team is, you know, what I'm for. But hopefully I'll get a chance to play for the Blue Jays one day.
Dalton, we appreciate you doing this. Congratulations on your promotion. Congratulations on going to the Futures game. And I hope that when we do see you in the major leagues, it'll be soon and it'll be in a Blue Jays uniform.
Yeah, for sure. I'm hoping the same thing. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, good luck, man.
Take care. Safe travels.
All right, thank you.
That is Dalton Pompey from Mississauga, promoted to Double A New Hampshire today. Pretty good numbers at Single A.
That's really good.
Got a 319 batting average, 6 homers, 6 triples, 12 doubles, 29 steals, 2 caught stealing, 56 Ks, 35 walks. And that's at high. Mm-hmm. Florida State League is high A. So now he's going up to Double A. And, I mean, Kevin, teams, Double A is almost, it's like Triple A was, what, like,
when I played.
Yeah, you can go up from Double A to the majors.
It sounds like he's in touch with his swing. He knows what his swing's like. But when you're a switch hitter and you're a young guy, I know, speaking from personal experiences, it was hard enough figuring out how to hit from one side and trying to do it from both sides. That's going to be really hard. But it seems like he's figured out how to be short and quick with both swings, because you're seeing triples, you're seeing some doubles.
Yeah.
You know, I think his strikeouts may be up a little higher, but also you have to figure he's, like I said, going from both sides of the plate. And also you have to remember, A ball, you have a lot of guys that throw the ball all over the place. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit hard to set guys up and know what your swing is like, and just to be able to know the strike zones a little harder and lower level. So most teams and most organizations put their top prospects that you're going to see real soon in the big leagues in Double A. So, you know, here in the next month, we're really going to see what kind of player he really is.
Yeah, he's got as many home runs as he had in 115 games at mm-hmm. At Lansing last year in the Midwest League. And the Florida State League is obviously a step up.
Speed and power, man.
And yeah, and his .319 batting average is 49 percentage points higher than his minor league average. And again, that's just through 5 seasons. But what I'm saying is, The kids made significant improvement across the board.
He's figuring it out. Yeah, that's right.
That's why
we're having the conversation in trades. I mean, if teams didn't want you, we wouldn't be talking about him being traded to maybe the Cubs or somebody else that the Jays are trying to get.
Yeah, it is. It like I said, it's an interesting story. And mm-hmm. he's a guy. It's funny. He's a guy that I want to say 3 years ago. 3 years ago in spring training, Cito Gaston was, it might have even been last year, but Cito Gaston was there as a guest instructor, mm-hmm. and a bunch of us were talking to Cito about, you know, he'd been down in the minor league complex, guy you say, anybody you see really impress you, mm-hmm. and he pointed out Dalton Pompey. And at the time, he was a Canadian kid drafted in the 16th round, and he got a little bit of pub, but you know, not as much as some of the other Canadian kids that were drafted. And it was funny. I ran into a guy that I know who scouts for the Phillies like 2 days later, and he'd seen a minor league game. We're talking, and he said to me, "What do you know about Dalton Pompey?" Mm. And I just started to laugh. Mm. I said, "Why?" And he said, "I've seen this kid. I watched him in the minors. I really like what I see." And then I told him that it's funny because Cito had pointed this kid out.
He sounds like an Anthony Ghost as a switch hitter with power.
Yeah.
That's who he sounds like. Fast, that can change a game late in a game, steal you a base, and play some good defense.
Speaking of Anthony Ghost.
Can't beat that.
No. Speaking of Anthony Ghost, the Jays and Anthony Ghost are at the halfway point of the Major League season. They are 2 games ahead of the Baltimore Orioles. They have a 45-36 record after last night's 7-0 win. They will continue their 4-game series against the Chicago White Sox tonight. This is where it gets interesting, folks. 3 left-handers, John Danks, Chris Sale, and Jose Quintana. This is a team, of course, that is, well, at least for tonight, going to be without Brett Laurie, without Jose Bautista, and they're going to be without Laurie for a while. Bautista may be able to DH or pinch hit on Saturday, depending on the way things go. So here they are going into a matchup against 3 lefties, 2 of whom are pretty good, 1 of whom is dominant, Chris Sale, mm-hmm. 6-1, 227.
Nasty.
And it is going to be a difficult series for this team, to say the least. Mm-hmm. But it's the halfway point of the season, so we wanted to talk about what we, and Kevin Barker and myself, mm-hmm. have seen so far from the Blue Jays as far as strengths and weaknesses go. We'll deal with Major League Baseball on Monday, but as far as the Blue Jays go, Kevin, I wanted to ask you, your surprises mm-hmm. from this team so far. And let's get this out there. It's safe to say we're both surprised that the Jays are in first place in the American League East.
Mm-hmm. Well, you would like to say that, but on paper, you really should not be surprised.
Okay.
I mean, they on paper, if you look one through, I'm going to say seven in the lineup, they may have the best lineup not only in the American League, but maybe in the big leagues. Just speed, a little bit more speed towards the front and the back end of the lineup. A lot of power. And I think, I don't know about you, but the defense has surprised me a lot. Now, not the last 2 weeks, the defense mm-hmm. has been a little shaky, but that's to be expected when, you know, it's getting a little hotter, people are getting a little tired, they're, you know, maybe taking their bats to the field. It's just, you know, but the one big surprise to me, and this may be a little surprising to you when I say this, is Bautista. Bautista is the biggest surprise to me, because the first reason is this is really the first time that I've seen him play mm-hmm. on an everyday basis. And the last couple of years, I know maybe last year, just the expectations were so high with this team. And when they are, you look at really one guy to carry the team and carry the load when it's not going the right way. Well, he's the best player. He's hit 50 home runs this year. Compared to last year, he's just leading the team in a different way, meaning that vocally he's leading it, not so much yelling at umpires and yelling at teammates and doing things that make the team look bad. He's doing it in different ways. He's bunting, which is very surprising. He's doing every little small thing to help your team. That's the big surprise to me, just his leadership, not only on the field but off the field, helping with young guys like Juan Francisco go through tough times. I think he's helping Brett Laurie step his game up to a new level. I think he's taken Edwin Encarnacion to a whole different level just by what it takes to be a premier power hitter in the league on an every year basis. So Bautista, I think, is – just what he brings to the team defensively, what he brings to the team, obviously offensively, what he brings to the team, just when he runs bases. I think mm-hmm. going first to third, doing the little small things. And then I see him the other day in Cincinnati when first and second, the team's struggling, they can't score runs. The number three hitter up in a small park, you would think maybe he hasn't hit a home run in a while. Hey, why don't I try to hit one? Instead, he lays a bunt down to help his team. He beats the play out at first base. Now, in the long run, it may have hurt him a little bit with his hamstring, but
sure.
It's the fact of him just trying to do everything possible to win games and be the leader. He leads more by example than he does by a vocal thing. So that is one of the biggest keys. And we can also, I know you're going to get into the bullpen thing, but
right.
It's when you have the weight of you have the weight of Toronto on your shoulders. You have the weight of, you know, all of these things going. You have a really good team. You're expected to win games. You're expected to not only get in the playoffs, but go deeper in the playoffs. This guy has done it every way possible to make his team better and just make his team look good. That's what great players do. And I'm so very impressed with watching him play every day.
My biggest surprise, pardon me, is the starting rotation. I mean, we'll leave aside the fact. First place to me is a surprise. They've been sole possession of first for 36 days. I don't think even the optimists, I don't even think Mike Wilner would have said going in the season that by June 30th, the Jays would have had sole possession of first for 36 days. Nonetheless, that's where they are. To me, the biggest surprise is the starting rotation. Numerically, or I should say statistically, they're 16th in ERA in the majors. They're 16th in innings pitched in the majors. Kind of middle of the pack. But here's the thing. Middle of the pack without Brandon Morrow. Mm-hmm. Middle of the pack with Jay Happ somehow appearing to have found four miles per hour extra.
Wow.
On his fastball. Middle of the pack with R.A. Dickey up and down. Mm-hmm. Middle of the pack with Marcus Stroman and Drew Hutchison, you know, playing significant roles in it. I mean, to me, that's the biggest surprise. More often than not now, the Jays starting pitching is giving this team a chance to win. And I just didn't think, if you told me in spring training, this is where the Jays would be mm-hmm. and Brandon Morrow wouldn't have contributed at all. I would have looked at you and said, you're absolutely crazy. That's my biggest surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Second biggest surprise to me would be Melky Cabrera. He's healthy. He's productive. He's third or fourth in the American League in multi-hit games. If it's me, I'm signing this guy. I'm offering this guy a 2 or 3 year contract right now. And I know the Jays aren't going to do that. But if it's me, I'm offering him a 2 or 3 year contract. I think in a lot of ways, once you get past Batista and once you get past Encarnacion, I think Melky Cabrera is maybe the most important hitter in this lineup because of what he does out of that number two spot and what he does for Jose Reyes and what he does for the guys behind him. Those are my two major surprises.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll look at this record, and I keep stressing this to people. The Boston Red Sox have already made a run, didn't catch him. The Yankees have made a run, didn't catch him. I know it's June 30th.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's early. I'm not punching the ticket through to the playoffs. But other than Tampa Bay, just about everybody in this division has given signs of chasing the Blue Jays. Just about everybody in this division has almost caught the Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Blue Jays have needed a win, somehow by hook or by crook, they end up getting a win.
Right. I think it's more, you say when one side of their team, like offensively, they're not hitting, the pitching steps it up. When they're not pitching right, the offense steps it up. It's just one's working. But I think the one constant all year has been their defense. It hasn't been the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll always say pitching and defense wins championships, or at least gets you in the playoffs and gives you a chance to do that. Because let's face it, when you get in the playoffs, you're facing the best of the best. That means you're facing the best pitching staffs, the best hitting. So you're going to have to really bear down and do that thing. But you want to just remember, you have to get to the playoffs
right
before you can win anything else. So it's baby steps. And I think they're in the right direction here.
And Kevin, I don't know how you would put a statistical quantification on this, but it seems to me that one of the other aspects of this team we've seen this year is at different times, different people have carried this team. Edwin through May, a lot of guys were hitting well, but Edwin through May was arguably, he was one of the best hitters in baseball.
Yeah.
He was one of the three best hitters in baseball in that month. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But we've seen the Jays win games. We saw them win a couple of games on Jose Reyes's legs.
Right.
We saw them.
Adam Lind. Right now.
And I'll tell you who else, very quietly. Take a look at Deonner Navarro's numbers in the past dozen or so games. He's hitting around 400.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know what the hell Luis Rivera was thinking last night.
I don't think he was.
I don't think he was either.
No, I don't think so.
But nonetheless, the bit players have stepped up at times. Eric Kratz has had a couple of key hits. He's in the minors. Even Anthony Gose, who, when we come back after the break, I'm going to say Anthony Gose to me is one of the disappointments in the team. But even Anthony Gose has won games with his speed.
You can also say Josh Tolley just by catching one of the hardest things to catch in the big leagues. I know he plays once a week, and he may play however many innings Dickey goes, that's what he plays. But in his role, you never see him complain. He puts he wears that weird-looking glove. It's not pretty. He catches the ball. He keeps people from going first to second. When Dickey's throwing, it's just a small piece of what they're doing. But when you're facing, quote unquote, the number one starter for your team, you have to do the right thing to do that. Josh Tolley's doing it. So you can't overlook that, too, I think.
It's Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker in Baseball Central. We will get to your Ask the Experts segment, by the way, or otherwise known as Ask the Guy Sitting Beside Jeff. We haven't had a chance to talk about this. I know that Ben Ennis and Mike Wilner spoke to John Gibbons about this on Thursday when they were doing, Wednesday when they were doing Baseball Central. Maybe it was Thursday. All the days are running together. It was Thursday when they were doing Baseball Central. Kevin Pillar sent down to AAA by John Gibbons after pitching a fit in the dugout. A couple of things I saw, and I thought of you because of your story about John Gibbons and the pinch hit, and I want you to relate that again to people. But the first thing I thought of is seeing a replay of it. You know, Kevin Pillar throws his stuff in the tunnel
because
he's mad that he's being pinch hit for. But then he comes back.
There's nothing wrong with that part of it.
But then you come back out. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like go in the tunnel And if you have to rip something apart, rip it apart. I'll tell you what. 4 years ago, John Gibbons would have kicked the you-know-what out of him. He would have gone full-tilt Shea Hill and Brandon.
First place makes that a little easier. But it's more, I think getting back to your point is that if you can't play for John Gibbons, you can't play for a manager. And your story you're talking about me is when I pinch hit one time, he got me up once, said I was going to pinch hit. Then he looks at me and says, you're not going to. And then the very last second, he says, no, you're going to go get up there. And I think I may have struck out, popped out, whatever. He meets me on the way back, walks me down, apologizes, just, you know, says, you're a big leaguer. This is not the way we do it. Just a big league manager.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to this Pillar thing, Kevin Pillar, I'm not real sure exactly what he was thinking. It may have been more of a, I'm not doing my job as well as I would like to do it, and I'm mad at myself for not doing. Let's hope that is what it is. But the way it looks, you're probably not going to see him again around John Gibbons, because I will say that Gibby is more of a, you get, when it comes to this part of baseball, now, not on the field things, Gibby understands that it's real hard to play every day. It's real hard not to play every day. Like Kevin was not playing every day. He knew this is what it was. Well, we hope he knew.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like he really did know, but it just, when it comes to this part of the game, you have to be let's face it, you have to be a man and know where you're at, what your role is on the team, what you're doing with the team, meaning I'm a defensive guy in the eighth inning. I'm going to spot start against certain left-handers. And by the way, he's blown a real big opportunity because he would have played the next 3 days somewhere.
Absolutely.
With these three lefties come up. So he's blown a big opportunity. And what I mean by we may not see him again, when trade comes in July, we may be seeing him being traded, just because when you make people, well, I'm going to say managers, and when you get on managers' bad sides on parts of this game, they can accept things that you do on the field. When it comes to this, it's more like you're showing somebody up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's a no-no. You just, there's certain things in baseball that you don't do to people, and it looks like, now I'm not, I hope this is not his intent.
Right.
But it seemed to me like, and that's what it seemed to Gibby like, that he was showing either Gibby up for making the decision to pinch hit for him, or he was making the team look bad in some certain form or different kind of way. That's unacceptable, and it will not. And Gibby sent that. He's not going to accept that. You're seeing it when we saw it when Cabrera got picked off of second base when they were struggling, when Gibby is the best. I'm just speaking from personal experiences now. I'm sure fans have their own opinion, but when I played for Gibby, he was one of the best managers at being a player's manager, he would never say anything bad about the way you're playing or anything like that. But when you mess up, like I give an example of Cabrera getting picked off when they're struggling in Cincinnati and you have a chance of scoring first, and that's a big deal, and you get picked off, he's going to be the first guy to jump on you. So this part of the game is just not going to be accepted. And especially when you're in first place, there's a certain way you play.
Right.
This is not it. So
that's what I was going to get to. It's a first place team.
Yeah.
You're effectively the 24th or 25th guy in a first place team.
Right.
And you do this, and people are going to go, well, you guys are overemphasizing it. The day-to-day existence of baseball, the day-to-day vibe of clubhouse life, the things that go on there, it's totally different when you're a first-place team.
Could Edwin have done this? Probably, and gotten away with it. It would have been talked about. Him and Gibby would have had a conversation.
Right.
In the clubhouse, in his office, he's not Edwin. He's not Jose. He's not Brett Laurie. He can't. Even Brett Laurie, you've seen it. There's a certain, everybody on this team, now you know who the boss is.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt who it is. Everybody needs a leader, and Gibby's the leader. And if you like the Jays and you're a fan of the Jays, you have to like this.
And I can tell you from talking to John in spring training, and I mean other people tell you the same thing, he kind of took offense to this suggestion last year that there was kind of a country club atmosphere, that he was a little too that he was a little too hands off during spring training. And it was just, man, it was just the wrong time to do it. And I don't know. I mean, if you're Kevin Pillar, you keep your mouth shut. You go down and play, and we'll see what happens. But I'll tell you what, he's not one step away from the majors anymore.
You get back to that old thing. Would you rather play every day in AAA, or do you want to play every 3 or 4 days in the big leagues?
Yeah, I don't think it's much of a choice.
I know I played a lot in AAA. I'd rather be in the big leagues.
It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. When we come back, we will do our Ask the Experts segment, and we will talk about our disappointments with the Blue Jays. And I have to admit, took a bit of work to come up with them. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet.
Prizes like no other, from a club like no other, The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
It is Friday. It is June 27th. It's kind of a long weekend, sort of.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. We are brought to you by Home Hardware. This is Baseball Central. I am Jeff Blair. That is Kevin Barker. It is optimistic Friday. It's every day is it's optimistic Monday when you're in. It's optimistic Tuesday when you're in.
I'm a very happy person. I'm sorry. That's just the way I live my life. I'm very lucky to have what I have. So
you are a challenge for me, my friend. I will have you old, bitter, and angry. It's a challenge.
I can say the same thing for me about you.
It's a challenge, man. It's a challenge. But don't worry. Don't worry. I have my ways.
Yeah. It's close to working.
No, it isn't.
No, it's not.
The Jays are in first place, everybody.
Yes.
And, we have found out. We did the surprises. We're going to do our disappointments as well. But before we do that, we've got to do the Ask the Experts segment, which, like this show, is brought to you by Home Hardware. I don't mean to say we have to do it. I'm not saying that if I don't do it, I'm not saying I'm unhappy to do it. I'm just saying we have to do it. So I've got a question submitted by Patrick for Kevin Barker. How do stadiums influence a player's decision to play for a certain team? The Rays, for example, already have one of the lowest attendance averages in the major leagues, and part of baseball is blue skies and fresh cut grass. I would argue it's fresh cut money, but anyhow. So I would have to think that not many players would want to play in Tampa Bay because every home game you play in is in a big garage and on turf. That from Patrick. And,
I'm sure that's not why
a skeptic would say that there are other indoor stadiums where it sometimes feels as if it's a big garage. But how do stadiums influence a player's decision to play for a certain team? Do you think players look at things like ballpark factor and whether or not a ballpark is a hitter's park?
I'm sure it does. I'm sure it depends on if you're a hitter, a really good home run hitter, you probably would not want to go to a place like, say, San Francisco. That is really hard to hit home runs.
San Diego.
Exactly. If you're a pitcher, those would be two great places to go because the ball doesn't fly. And obviously the better numbers you have, the more, as you were saying, green stuff you're going to make. Personally, if I ever had the choice, and let's say this up front, most players do not have a choice on where they're going. That's only a select few people because they've earned the right. That's usually a veteran guy that's older, that's been around, that makes a lot of money already with one team and can tell you this is where I want to go. Most people do not have that choice. So let's get that out of the way first. Secondly, it would be like if you are a everyday player, which means you play every day, you're not a pitcher, and you may not like playing day games. The Chicago Cubs are an example of a place you may not want to go because they play a lot of day games. And if you're an everyday player and you have, say, a bad injury with your knees or your feet, turf may not be a place that you would want to play every day. So those are just two examples of places you may not want to go. But I have to say this. Every park in the big leagues is nice. there's not one bad park. I'm not saying that because the money's good and all. That money is a very important factor on where these guys go in long term, because, you know, you want to support your family and take care. But all the parks are, they're going to take care of you in every way they can, whether it be, you know, in the clubhouse, whether it be on the field. If you have us, if you're getting traded to, we'll say, if you get traded to Toronto and you have trouble with your knees, they're going to do things to help you get past that because you make their team better. So it's not a fact of, you know, I don't want to go here because that field's not very good, or there is certain places that certain people like more and they'd rather go there, because there's always one place that I would like to play, and that was Colorado. I just thought that field was, and I lived there for quite a few years, and I just thought that was a really nice place, and I would have loved to play there. But if you're a really good starting pitcher, that may not be a place you'd like to go. I was a hitter, and the ball flies there, and it was just a beautiful place, and it was very interesting to me, and I would have enjoyed doing that. But that money, your family, your wife may not want to go there and live. That may be one cause. It's numerous reasons, and sometimes most players don't have a choice in where they go.
Yeah, and I think it depends, too, on the part of your career, the point of your career you're at, how much money you have made, whether or not you've won. I mean, you talked about artificial turf. I know the Blue Jays will tell you that they thought they had a shot at Carlos Beltran, and that one of the reasons he didn't come here was because of the artificial turf. But I really do think it, you know, look, if you're a guy like Irvin Santana, we'll use him as an example, and you have had a choice at a stage in your career where you need to perform well, because you want another big payday. So you got to perform well. You got a choice between American League East, ballpark that is offensive friendly, or National League East, ballpark that's less friendly towards the hitters. At that stage of your career for Irvin Santana, you go to Atlanta. Now, maybe 4 years earlier or whatever, if Irvin Santana reaches free agency at an earlier age, he might have looked at it and said, you know what? I got another big payday. I got to go and prove myself. So I'm going to go to the American League East and show that I can pitch in the American League East and make some money. It really depends. But it is an interesting... I've always thought that stadiums play much, 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 much more of a factor than the city.
I've only heard of the one place. Now, Chicago is a great place off the field. Obviously, everybody knows Chicago. Most wives love Chicago because of the shopping, the nightlife, the whole nine yards. The day game thing, that would be a big problem for me just because of what I just mentioned. And getting up so early in routines, baseball players are big on routines. And when you have to play a day game, you know, we'll say 4 days a week, that's really tough. So that's just one spot that you would really have to think about. Now, if you're a pitcher, that's great because, you know, opposing teams come in and they're not used to playing day games every day. And you're catching, you know, these teams maybe going out or not being in a routine they're normally in, makes them a little easier to pitch to. Hey, that might be a good place for you to go.
Yeah, and I mean, there are players who will pick particular ballparks for you know, for whatever reason. But again, it's got to kind of balance out. The money has to be there, and you know, I think back to the perfect example to me, Mel Rojas, who is a closer for the Montreal Expos. He ended up going to the Chicago Cubs, and part of the reason was he threw a fork ball, and the grass at Chicago. I mean, if you're a ground ball pitcher, that infield grass in Chicago, that just kills rolling ball. And his agent at the time said one of the reasons we picked the Cubs. Yeah, it's a home run friendly park, but we think this is a good fit for Mel. So
I think it too gets back to what you said earlier about what part of your career you in, you're going to go to the best team, regardless of where that is. If, let's say, Tampa Bay is the best team in the league, not the nicest place to play, but you still have the best product to put on the field and you have a chance of winning a ring, veteran players are going to go there regardless.
Yeah.
So that has a lot to do with it, too.
It's a good question from Patrick. And
very good.
You can submit your questions to our home hardware Ask the Expert segment by going to sportsnet.ca/experts. And Patrick, we
so really good questions lately.
Well, yeah, it has been. Well, that's because I've done a good job picking them.
You have?
Your disappointments, Mr. Barker, aside from working with me, your biggest first half disappointment for the Toronto Blue Jays?
Well, the first one that comes to mind would be Steve Delabar. Just what he's went through from last year, actually from what he's went through to get to the big leagues, to be an all-star, what it took, what he went through surgery-wise, what he went through with the off-season program, then to be an all-star. And then this year, just not really being able to find the strike zone. And, you know, he really was, let's face it, he was really the setup guy for Casey Jansen. Is that, yeah, that's about right. We can say that. He was the setup guy in the eighth inning, which is a huge role because most eighth inning guys are facing the middle of the lineup. They're going to face the 2-3-4, 3-4-5 guy. And he just seemed, for one reason or the other, either he was trying too hard or he was trying to live up to that, I'm an all-star, I have to pitch like an all-star, instead of just getting the ball and going out and throwing it. That would be one of my biggest disappointments, just, you know, that he's had trouble finding the strike zone. And there, I guess you could say that about another guy, Sergio Santos, has kind of went through the same thing where he had a really good stint with the White Sox as a closer, and then he comes to Toronto and he's having a, you know, well, let's face it, he has a tough time throwing strikes. That that's the main problem. When you're in the bullpen and you can't throw strikes, it's that's a big deal.
And those are two power arms, and that, you need power arms in the American, we've talked about this, you need power arms in the American League East.
Exactly right. You got to have, because it's like you said earlier, the East, the ballparks you play in are smaller ballparks that give up the home run ball. And if you keep those 95, 96, 97 down, it's really hard to get under that thing and hit a home run. So those two guys maybe would be right now. It's like you said earlier, we're reaching for disappointments here.
To me, the obvious disappointment is Brandon Morrow, just because, but I mean, we could have said that for the past 2 years. So that's not, you know, injuries. It's pretty hard. I mean, you're not going to blame Brandon Morrow because he tore the tendon sheath in his right forefinger. But I mean, that, to me, that's a disappointment because I thought that Brandon Morrow, as I thought last year, he was a guy who was capable of making a run at the Cy Young. This year, I didn't expect that, but I certainly thought that we'd at least have a better idea what he is right now. I'm with you in Steve Delabar. And I've only got a minute and a half here. I love aspects of Anthony Gose's game, and it's so tantalizing. But, you know, here we are. He's had a chance to contribute and for a while play every day on a team that was playing well, and he was okay, but then he tailed off. We're in the midway point of the season. The Jays are in first place. We still don't know what we have with Anthony Gose. And to me, this is vital because the Jays, I think, have basically made a call on Colby Rasmus. They're not going to offer him an extension this year. We know they're not going to. So there you go. You don't know who the... I thought by this time, even if the Jays weren't going to offer Colby Rasmus a contract, we'd be sitting here saying, well, they got Anthony Gose ready to play every day. And we
that's,
can't say
that's
that.
Every team, really. That have that one guy that you just said, but he's fast. You can say that.
Absolutely is. So we had to reach for disappointment.
Reaching
means it's a good season.
That is.
Kevin Barker and I will be back on Monday. Don't forget, Jays, Chicago White Sox, 3 games this week, and all the games in Sportsnet 590, the Fan of Sportsnet. Of course, they're at the Rogers Center. Get out there. The weather's going to be great. For our friends at Home Hardware, I'm Jeff Blair on behalf of Kevin Barker and Dalton Pompey saying thanks so much for joining us. This has been Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, the Fan and Sportsnet. You have a great weekend, everybody.